How we doing, everybody? What a weekend we had. Just your normal weekend, right? Oh, my God. The assassination attempt on a former president. The New York Mets went 2 out of 3. The New York Yankees. The New York Yankees did something, Tiki. And we'll get to everything coming up over the next 4.5 hours. Our old buddy Craig Carton will stop by in the 5 o'clock hour. But the New York Yankees, Tiki, accomplished something that's pretty incredible.
Which is?
They won 2 out of 3 against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, they moved within a game of the division. They're right there.
Yes, they're right there. They had Gerrit Cole dominating on Friday. They were involved in a Fugazi brawl on Friday. They had Luis Gil put together another really good performance, right? The Yankees won a series from the Orioles, a team that had not lost a series against a division rival in over a year. The Yankees did that, right? It's good. It's fantastic. Everybody should be smiling.
I was happy about it.
You were happy about it. A lot of Yankee fans were happy about it until about 2:45 on Sunday. The New York Yankees somehow put together such an abysmal kick in the groin kind of loss that I am convinced, talking to my friends who are Yankee fans, that the entire weekend was ruined by that course of what happened in the bottom of the ninth inning, and it actually almost deletes the accomplishment winning 2 out of 3 against the Orioles.
There's no chance. Because, look, we know how this thing all played out. 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. They have a shot. Volpe has a shot. Maybe he should have charged the ball. It was hopping odd. I don't mind that he sat back on it, but if you're going to sit back on it, you better be precise and you better be accurate getting the ball to second base. Game's over, right? Should be. It's not. You go to the next batter, and then Verdugo misplays it out in left field, and somehow, some way, the Baltimore Orioles, after giving up, by the way, the lead, salvage a victory against the Yankees. Now, does that feel good for the Orioles? Yeah. Does it feel bad for the Yankees? To me, no.
Oh, stop.
Because think about where they could come from.
Yes.
Think about how bad the Yankees had been over the last a month or so. And for most of this series, until the last inning, basically, they dominated the team that's supposed to be better than them and their division. And here's the other side of this, Ev, that is actually more important, is that I don't want to dwell on Anthony Volpe having an error in the ninth inning. I don't want to dwell on Alex Verdugo misplaying a ball out into left field, because as soon as you start doing that, now you talk about it for the next, I don't know, 5 days because of the All-Star break, you come back expecting, I don't know, some kind of negativity. And after a month and a half of negativity, I don't want to hear it. It's like one of those things where you just stick your head in the sand and forget about it. I almost want to do that.
Yeah, but here's why you can't. And here's why the Yankee fan that looks at yesterday's sequence in the bottom of the ninth inning and has it ruin your weekend, here's why they're right. They're right because that sequence in the bottom of the ninth inning not only cost you a feel-good weekend, not only took away the beauty of winning a series against the Orioles, it may have cost you the American League East. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic on this, but if the Yankees would have swept yesterday's series, if they would have won yesterday after Ben Rice gave you the dramatic moment of hitting a 3-run bomb against a closer that's far worse than Clay Holmes and Craig Kimbrell, if the Yankees win that game, not only are they in first place in the American League East, but all of a sudden they got a leg up on taking the season series against the Orioles, which makes the roadmap to winning this division a lot clearer.
Right.
Instead, you get a 2-game swing. You're probably not winning the tiebreaker unless you sweep them the final time you play them. And here's the worst part. It's not that you blew a game in the ninth inning. It's not that Clay Holmes walked a couple of guys. It's that not once, but twice, two of your best defensive players had the easiest play in the world to make, and they both effed up.
Isn't that
both of them?
But isn't that the reason why you can't dwell on it? Because it's an anomaly. It happened.
But twice it happened. It happened once.
But they're not connected. There's no way that there's causation related. And Volpe errors, and therefore the next likely outcome is it Verdugo errors. There's no chance that that ever is repeated. You know, so this feels to me like an anomaly. It feels like Verdugo wanted to be aggressive in case there was a ball hit short of him. And in his mind, he just was coming forward instead of reading it neutrally. You know what I mean? So to me, it was just a pre-pitch, pre-play mistake, like a mind you know what, right before the play happened. Volpe, I think he just was caught. He was handcuffed a little bit. And so he delayed, thought he could make a good play, and he didn't. Verdugo, I think he was overly aggressive in his mind. Therefore, when he had to react, he wasn't ready for it.
I
can't see those two exact circumstances happening again.
Well, no, it
back may, to back it, that cost the game.
I'm not suggesting that the Yankees now have a left field problem defensively with Alex Verdugo. Mm-hmm. They have an offensive problem with Alex Verdugo. The guy hasn't hit.
Yeah.
The guy got off to a great start this year. He became kind of like part of the identity of how the locker room had changed. He's a dog. He's got the chains. Yeah. He's got a very different personality. Right now he's not performing.
He's got
to
close his stance, by the way.
There you go. He's getting batting advice from a former NFL
he's
running back.
He's wide ass open. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Look, he hasn't hit now in a month. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
But Alex Verdugo defensively in left field, really up until the last couple of days, has been stellar.
Right.
He's been a sturdy defensive presence. And yesterday, if he takes the step back like every outfielder does, the Yankees win this game. Anthony Volpe, who's had gold glove defense at shortstop. The guy won a gold glove last year as a rookie. He is as good a defensive shortstop as anybody in baseball. He deserves a ton of credit for that. Botched the easiest ground out force out in the world. And the turn, because of those two errors, is tiebreaker in doubt, division in doubt. And yeah, for the next 5 days, the Yankee fan is going to mope.
Yeah, but
as opposed to being in first place all by their lonesome, which they should be and they should have done. And I do wonder, what does that do to that room for the next 5 days? You know, as Aaron Judge is enjoying the All-Star game and Juan Soto's enjoying the All-Star game and everybody else is on the beach, hopefully you forget about it, but you just wonder what a loss like that does to you, because that is a win in your back pocket. And by the way, for all the Clay Holmes haters out there, I invite you to yell at me, but you guys are wrong if you want to bash Clay Holmes. Mm. He wasn't good yesterday. Yes, he walked two guys. Yes, a few of them were not even coming close to throwing a strike. And no one's telling you he's perfect. But Clay Holmes got five outs yesterday. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Look, sometimes a closer isn't going to make it easy. Edwin Diaz didn't make it easy on Friday night for the Mets, but he got the save, right? Ultimately, Clay Holmes got the save on Sunday, except Anthony Volpe can't field a routine ground ball to shortstop, and Alex Verdugo's taking a step in. So I know this isn't popular with the Yankee community, but I got to tell you, I exonerate Clay Holmes. I really do, because how many outs, Teak, is he supposed to get? Seven outs?
No, he's supposed to get three, but when you make him get five. I know, when you make him get five, well, one didn't count, but you know what I mean. When you make him get five, sometimes bad things happen. But I can't look at Clay Holmes and say he is the lockdown, closeout closer that's going to win a championship for this Yankees team. If he's going to be the closer for the Yankees going forward, assuming they don't make a move at the deadline for another bullpen or a dominant back end of the bullpen arm, then Clay Holmes is going to need help. He's going to have not insurmountable leads, but he's not going to. He can't be asked to close for five outs. He can't be asked to go more than we know that he can do, because we know what he's going to do. He's going to get ground balls. He's going to he's going to put traffic on the bases. And most times he's going to get out of that because they have good defense behind him, and he's actually a pretty good pitcher. But he is not that, all right, we got one guy to get out, and regardless of the circumstances that you got into that, whether he put him in that situation or not, he's not that guy who's going to go lock him out. He's not going to go strike him out with 99-mile-an-hour fastball with the guy, you know, swinging through the fence and swinging for the fence and missing. That's not Clay Holmes. So you can be a little bit shaky on Clay Holmes, but for the most part, he does his job.
Clay Holmes is one of the better options in Major League Baseball
He's
to get the final three outs.
He's
with
an all-star.
Well, just because you're an all-star doesn't mean you're an all-star. You know what I mean?
He is.
Is Pete Alonso an all-star? I love Pete, but is he an all-star?
He's a home run derby masher.
Great. Good for him.
That's why he's an all-star.
Look, Clay Holmes is not perfect. And ideally, he's not issuing two walks in the bottom of the ninth inning after Ben Rice gives him the lead. But he got the third out. He got the fourth out. Like, Clay Holmes did enough to get the job done yesterday. What cannot happen from a winning team, what cannot happen is your two best defensive players, and I could certainly argue, along with Aaron Judge, the days where he plays the field, that the best defensive players on the New York Yankees are Anthony Volpe at shortstop, he's won a gold glove, and Alex Verdugo in left field.
I mean, Judge is pretty good out there, too.
He is when he plays the field. I agree with you.
He's just not every day anymore.
Yeah, right now they DH him a lot. Aaron Judge is a brilliant defensive outfielder. But Anthony Volpe and Alex Verdugo are two of their more reliable defensive players. You cannot have both of them botch some of the easiest plays ever. And I'll tell you something I did yesterday that I very rarely do.
Do you think they don't know that?
Oh, they're great that they know it, but they cost the Yankees a game and maybe the division.
But does it matter?
Yes!
No, it doesn't. You know why?
Why?
Because there's nothing they can do about it. There's absolutely nothing they can do about it. So to dwell on Anthony Volpe's errors in the ninth inning cost them, it doesn't do any good. Because we know he's a good defender. Just like Volpe. We know, Verdugo. We know he's a good defender. So dwelling on it doesn't help it.
But that's why a loss like yesterday, even though the Yankees had a great weekend in winning 2 out of 3. I had confidence for a while that they would turn things around. It took a lot longer than I expected.
Well, Baltimore's also on a slide, too.
Absolutely. Look, the Orioles, I mentioned this on Friday when you were out, the Orioles were averaging 3.5 runs per game since the day after they played the Yankees a couple of weeks ago, and they've been a 500 team, which has allowed the Yankees to even remain in it, despite the Yankees' struggles.
Yep.
So, yes, the Orioles are a struggling team. And the Yankees did turn things around by winning the first two games of this series. But there are certain losses over the course of a baseball season that just sting 150 times more than others, that feel like they're more valuable than other losses you have. Take the Met loss yesterday. It sucked to lose the Colorado Rockies, but it's one of those games where you're like, all right, you know, it sucked. Quintana gave up a bunch of home runs. Adrian Hauser stinks. Like,
he gave up a home run, too. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It matters. I was annoyed. I was in the building yesterday, but it's one of those losses where, hey, you're going to lose games. Then there are games that you cannot lose. When you put together the dramatics of Ben Rice hitting the home run against Craig Kimbrell, who stinks, by the way. We all know that. Anytime you want to bash Clay Holmes, just remember, who has a better closer option? The Baltimore Orioles or the New York Yankees? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't even argue with me on that because you know the answer. But when you lose certain games a certain way, they're just horrific losses.
Right.
And it makes a 2 out of 3 feel a little bit different than what it actually was because it was right there in front of you. It's one thing to blow a lead in the ninth inning to the Orioles. The Orioles are a good team. It's another thing to have your two best defensive players screw up.
True, but I still feel good about this Yankees team because of what was at stake against the Orioles in this last series before the All-Star break. Now they come out of the All-Star break, and they get them again for 4 at home. So,
they got Tampa Bay coming out of the All-Star break.
They got Tampa out of the All-Star break for 4. And so it feels like also an opportunity, just like they did before the Orioles series, to take on a division rival and win.
By the way, I'm glad you made that mistake because the reason Tiki probably made that mistake is Roku made that mistake.
Yes.
Yeah. They kept saying they're playing the Orioles out of the break and I'm screaming at the TV.
That's true.
They're not. In fact, here's what's so cool about the next time the Yankees see the Baltimore Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
They play them on the final homestand of the season at Yankee Stadium. On September 24th, 25th, and 26th, that's the next time the New York Yankees take on the Baltimore Orioles. And the Yankees have to sweep them if they want to get the season series tiebreak against Baltimore. And that may be the route to win the American League East.
Or the Orioles could just fall out of it.
They could collapse.
Because they're 3 out of 3 and 7 in their last 10.
That's right. Or the Orioles could go to Citi Field next month and the Mets could hammer them.
Right.
And the Yankees could get help
from
the Mets.
There's so many things that could happen. Yes, the head-to-head matters, but ultimately, if the Orioles have the same slide that the Yankees on and can't find their way out of it, the Orioles aren't going to be in the conversation either.
There's one other thing about this weekend that needs to be brought up. I hate misnomers. I hate it. I hate when people start running with things because it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothers me is that Fugazi fight from Friday night. Okay, so on Friday night, if you guys weren't watching it, Clay Holmes, as it started raining in Baltimore on an 0-2 pitch, came up and up and up and in. And he drilled Crickstead in the head.
Yep.
Poor guy's on the IL now. Hopefully he's going to be okay. So no fight to begin with, but Brandon Hyde, the manager of the Baltimore Orioles, is very upset. Which the Yankees acknowledged after. We get why he's upset. He's upset because a guy got drilled in the head. So Hyde's yelling at the Yankees. The Yankees are yelling at Hyde. I don't know what the Yankees are yelling at Brandon Hyde for. Like, Brandon Hyde's one of those guys where sometimes someone's mad at something, and you just have to let them be mad, even if they're irrational. Don't we all do that with our wives and some with our husbands?
Yes.
Like, you just let her yell, or let me yell.
Yes.
Sometimes I yell irrationally.
You know you deserve it.
Right.
And so you don't have an argument back, but
it's not,
ultimately you just want Just calm down.
It's not that you deserve it. Can I give you an example?
Well, I mean, in this case, he deserved it. Well,
who deserved it? The Yankees?
Clay Holmes, he deserved it.
Yeah, but Clay Holmes was apologizing.
I know, but he deserves still to get yelled at.
Okay, but here's, let me give you the Clay Holmes comparison.
I'm just telling you.
If all of a sudden, like, I don't know, the laundry just doesn't get done in my house. No. The laundry machine stops working.
Okay.
So I put all the laundry in the machine, and the machine malfunctions, and there's a flood.
Mm.
And my wife is very upset because she
was the last one to touch the washing machine.
Pretty much.
Yes.
And so she starts yelling at me like, you dummy, you screwed it up, there's a flood, I'm not going to have my nice dress for that evening tonight, F you, F the world. Now, I know it's not really my fault. Like, there was probably just a piping issue. But what I'm going to do in the moment when I see that she's angry is I'm going to let her yell. I'm going to let her get it out. So it's not me saying, I know I'm wrong. It's me saying, let me just let her be irrational. And then at a later date, we could talk about how it's not really my fault.
Yes.
Clay Holmes had a ball slip out of his hands. Okay, come on now. It's raining.
He does not headhunt.
He doesn't headhunt.
He's not that kind of personality.
It's not a situation.
He's not trying to intimidate you by being big bad, I'm throwing Hyde inside.
Right.
That is not Clay Holmes.
Agreed. So Brandon Hyde is just yelling because the Yankees have pitched up and into a lot of Baltimore Oriole players. He's upset that one of his young players has got drilled in the head. So Brandon Hyde is my wife. He's just irrationally yelling at the Yankee bench. Now, if my wife is irrationally yelling at me, which she never does, but let's say she does, I would shut my mouth. I wouldn't fight back. The Yankee bench shouldn't have said a damn word to Brandon Hyde. And you know how I know this? Because even after the game, Gerrit Cole's like, I understand why Brandon Hyde was upset. Like, everybody understood it. So, okay, the Yankees yell back. The bench is empty. Hyde tries to run through Austin Wells. Austin Wells, you know, tries to push him away. There's some awkward pushing and shoving. And then the Yankees win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Yankees win on Saturday. And I got to hear from Yankee fans, see, that woke us up. No, that didn't wake you up. You had a lead in the ninth inning. What do you mean woke you up? You already beat the Orioles anyway. So this idea that that Fugazi kerfuffle somehow sparked the Yankees, that's great for the championship DVD, by the way.
Yeah.
That's great as like a fake talking point. It'd be like me saying my beard being cut off sparked the Mets. No, they sucked for a week. Then they got sparked. So the idea that the Yankees showed toughness because they yelled back at Brandon Hyde and there was some pushing and shoving is what I like to call a false, what do I call it?
It's
BS!
It's a mischaracterization.
Yes, it is
fake news for sure.
Fake news. It sparked the Yankees. They were already going to win the game. How did it spark the Yankees?
Two things I want to say here. The first one is I think the Yankees need to take a page out of the Mets book. On Friday, they need to have a team meeting. You've had the whole break here. You've had this bad loss, worst loss of the season.
Coming up, they should have a team
meeting. This coming Friday, have a team meeting. It sparked the Mets. Maybe it'll spark the Yankees.
The Yankees are already sparked.
They've stunk the last month.
I know, but they just won a series against the Baltimore Orioles, who Evan correctly pointed out, or astutely pointed out, haven't lost a series to a division rival in a year.
Well, it's one of those weird things where, here's where Loogie could be right. If they have a team meeting on Friday,
coming Friday.
Just hear me out.
Why? What are you? There's no like catalyst for the team meeting.
It creates the cloud of what turned the Yankees season around. Like right now, their little fight with the Orioles on Friday didn't turn their season around.
No.
They were winning the game as it was.
But I don't feel like, you ever notice how when the Yankees do something, Judge, Soto hit goes yard, then Judge goes yard,
right
back to back, and it's like, they're always like just doing the point down. I think they're telling people, settle down, man.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
We're all right. Just settle down. Bring the temperature down. Everybody wants to get hyped. The Yankees aren't a hype team.
Is that the phrase nowadays, bring the temperature down? Yeah, I thought I heard that last night, too.
So, by the way, the Mets are. The Mets are a let's get hyped team.
Yeah.
And they have Jose is singing a song. He's singing it tonight. Isn't he singing it tonight?
Yes, he is.
At the Home Run Derby?
Yes.
Right? So his invite to the All-Star game, which, you know, it's kind of deserved because he's part of the reason that the Mets have turned it around. They are a let's get hyped team.
Right.
The Yankees aren't. They are the complete opposite of that. They want to be calm and cerebral.
Well,
and so having a team meeting, while it sounds cool and good, and maybe we can copy the Mets, it would just be that. Let's copy the Mets to copy the Mets. I don't think they need
it. But you also think that despite the way they lost on Sunday, they have turned their season around.
Yes, I do believe that.
The New York Yankees have now won two out of their last three and three out of their last five, well, and I know that's very small.
It's mostly because of who they beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they didn't beat the Rays the series before.
Right.
They lost two out of three in that series. But they beat the Orioles, who were the team that were becoming their new nemesis.
Right.
The team that they couldn't beat regardless of the circumstances.
Right. That's what you guys were claiming after the Orioles beat the Yankees a month ago. Like, they're the new Houston Astros. Meanwhile, the Yankees just went to Baltimore and won two out of three and should have swept them if their two best defensive players didn't show.
Exactly. And so, to me, they have cleared whatever that demon is that was hanging over them with regarding the Orioles.
All I ask, though, and the reason I brought it up, is can we just all agree, okay, that the kerfuffle on Friday
it was nonsense.
Did not spark the New York Yankees to
nonsense.
Do anything.
No.
And that's not a knock on the Yankees. It's just the reality.
I would agree with that.
They were going to win the game.
It wasn't intentional. It wasn't Clay Holmes saying, watch me. I'm going to intimidate
right.
this kid. Watch this.
But you know what the problem is? Here's the problem. We forgot, and I take blame for this. You weren't here on Friday, so it's certainly not your fault. The last time the Yankees played the Orioles, they played that three-game series at Yankee Stadium. They won the first game. They lost the last two.
Yep.
There was that incident. There was Aaron Judge being hit and him not being happy about and us all talking about retaliation. And the one thing I said to you is sometimes you got to retaliate when you never know, when you're not thinking about it.
Do you think this was it?
No, I think it was Clay Holmes slipping a baseball.
That's exactly right.
Like, I don't think it was, but it all of a sudden, as soon as it happened, it popped into all of our minds that, oh, here's something's going on. And then you saw them get on the field and the pushing and the shoving. And look, it turned out to be nothing, and it may be the last of it. But the idea that that somehow sparked the Yankees, to me, is just, it's ridiculous. Gerrit Cole sparked the Yankees on Friday night.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole pitching like the Cy Young contender was a major, major help. That was a spark. And then on Saturday, Luis Gil was great. He's throwing that slider well. They scored six runs. They beat the crap out of the Orioles. And if it wasn't for Verdugo and Volpe, we'd be sitting here today talking about sweeping the Orioles and the Yankees being in first place in the American League East, despite playing crap baseball for the last month. So the only thing I ask to Yankee fans as we enter this new portion of the season is let's not look at the fake fight from Friday as anything more than it was. An old man yelling into the clouds because he was upset that one of his young players accidentally got hit in the head. That's all it was.
Right.
We'll get to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We got a very busy show today. The great Craig Carton will join us a little bit later on. He's got some strong opinions on the New York Yankees, plus where the new Mets expectations now reside. More thoughts on Jalen Brunson taking less money, and we'll obviously get into the craziness that we all faced on Saturday afternoon. Before we get to your calls, if you were making like a blame list, like a list where you're blaming individuals.
Why you gotta blame anybody?
Because that's what we do, baby.
It's a team.
We just blame
people. We win as a team. We lose as a team.
Well, but if you were going to blame people for yesterday's New York Yankees loss, to me, you've got three obvious options.
Yeah.
You've got Alex Verdugo. That's me, dog. You've got Anthony Volpe. And you have Clay Holmes. Now, in my opinion, I fully exonerate Clay Holmes.
Yes.
I mean, yes, he had some control issues and he wasn't perfect, but he got the third out and then he got a fourth out.
Yeah, Clay Holmes can't be on the list.
Well,
he's not on the list.
But you know why he's on the list?
I know people are throwing him on the list because of the walks and the control issues. He put him in those bad situations, but he did what he was supposed to do.
No, I agree with you.
He got a grand ball with two outs.
But Tiki, I agree with you, but there are Yankee fans and non-Yankee fans like Loogie who blame Clay Holmes.
And he got a pop fly.
I think Clay Holmes is number one on the list.
Why?
Let me ask you both as parents. I'm not a parent. If your kids left toys out on the floor and you're walking around in your underwear, the dark light is there's no light on, and you trip on the toys, who you mad at?
Me. Yourself? Myself. I should have turned the light on.
You're
next.
A liar. Yes. No, you're a liar. My damn kid, Spence Chet, he created the mess by walking
people.
Hold on.
People. In the moment, you're pissed off at your kid. But then you realize that's on me because he's a kid.
Exactly. Well said, Tiki.
But Clay Holmes is not a kid. He's an all-star closer, and he didn't go 1-2-3. Good night, the lights. He is the biggest issue.
All-star closer, yes. Anthony Volpe is a gold glove shortstop. That was the most easy routine ground ball to shortstop. And then Volpe does.
He was deep. That's the problem.
And then after he boots it, he starts picking up the sand like he's a child, almost like, what happened? Was it, why did you do this to me?
No, he was
trying
Anthony,
to hide. Hey, Anthony, it wasn't the sand, bro. No, it was
to,
you.
That's him trying to hide.
Oh, he's trying to hide?
Yeah, that's what you do. You hide. It's in your own mind. You're doing something completely unrelated to what just happened. You're just trying to make your mind busy. Like, oh God, I don't know what I'm
doing. The only...
Let me pick up this sand. Maybe nobody saw that.
I respect Lugie's opinion only because I know a lot of Yankee fans agree with him. So even though I think he's dead wrong, I appreciate you representing the Yankee fan. We do have a Yankee fan that works on this show, but he never comes to work anymore. I heard some weird excuse about rats and termites and mice and possums. More on that maybe later on. So he is representing a lot of Yankee fans, Lugie, in blaming Clay Holmes. To me, it really comes down to Volpe and Verdugo. And I've gone back and forth about this. I got to blame Verdugo. I mean, that is an easy fly ball to left field.
I was going to say Verdugo, too. Mainly because it was the last one.
It's a last... Well, Volpe would have been the last one, too.
I know, but there was still another shot.
Oh, you're right. Right. So when Volpe commits the boot job...
Yes. There's no run scored.
Right. Also, I read from Chris Kirschner that the catch probability on the fly ball to Verdugo was 99%. Jeez.
I didn't listen to the post game. Did he say why he came in?
He said, my bad. He said it was his fault, which I appreciate.
I know, but there has to be a reason. Like, what did he... Like, he had to have thought something when he saw the ball off the bat that forced him to take... It wasn't like a step. It was like four or five
steps. And then
steps
he did there. The trip. He takes the step in. You know what that reminded me of? And I feel horrible saying this, but I'll never forget. When I was in middle school, we had a baseball team.
Okay.
And I tried out for the baseball team, and I made a horrible, horrible mistake. Daddy B was the head coach. That was literally his name, Daddy B. I hope he's okay. Mm. There were rumors that he was also in porn movies. I don't know if that ever turned out to be true. Mm. So Daddy B goes up to everybody and says, what position would you like to try out for? Now, I am a lefty, but I'm tiny. Yeah. And I wanted to be Rico Bronya. So I should have said first base because that's my position. And that's the position I ended up playing in high school. But I was so nervous about playing first base because I knew I couldn't hit and I was tiny that I said, I'm going to play the outfield. And so Daddy B says, all right, go to the outfield. So I go to the outfield. You can ask my buddy Adam Eaton. He's on the Mets text chat. That's when we became friends. He was the best athlete in school. I was the worst.
Nice.
That's how we bonded.
He was a shortstop, I assume.
He was. So Daddy B starts fungoing balls to the outfield. I am telling you right now, every fly ball to the outfield, I was Alex Verdugo. I was falling down. I couldn't see it. I'm like, whoa! Like, Alex Verdugo falling down in left field was my middle school years. It really was.
I feel bad for Alex Verdugo right now. He's now Evan Roberts in middle school.
So, I have a question for you guys. When Verdugo screwed that play up, did Luis Castillo pop the champagne? Has that now overtaken Luis Castillo dropping that pop-up as the worst?
No. Evan. Just because of the circumstances.
No,
did you say 99.9% probability?
Yeah, and you could look up what the Castillo one was. I mean,
did
it's
they
probably,
keep track of it back then?
I honestly don't know.
That was as routine can be.
Well, there's two reasons that are different. You mentioned circumstances: Mets Yankees Subway Series, yep. A-Rod bases loaded. It's Yankees Orioles. It's a big deal, and it certainly matters more in terms of the standings. But there is something iconic about the Subway Series. But here's the real reason in why the Castillo one is worse. Because it hit his glove.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the Verdugo case, because he fell down, you never got to see him, like,
miss it,
have it go off his glove. Yeah. I think the ball that goes off your glove, like, keep this in mind. I'll give you an example. And this is the scoring geek in me, but it's true. Cedric Mullins got a double.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way things are scored. Like, that wasn't an error on Alex Verdugo. We're calling it that because all of us have brains to know he should have made that play, but it's not an error. The ball never touched him.
So it'll disappear from history, unless you saw it.
Correct. The history books
say... a great point.
The history books say Cedric Mullins got a game-winning double.
That's a solid point.
Yeah. And Lugie's just a sad, desperate Met fan trying to erase the Castillo play.
I will do anything to get that out of there.
Trust me. I would, too. This ain't doing it. Let's get to some of your phone calls, including Julian and Baldwin. How you doing today, Julian?
What's up, Julian?
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Yo, first of all, I want to say... shout out to Craig, because if it wasn't for him, I probably would have never started listening. But
there you go. He sucked you in like a vacuum.
Yeah, that's crazy. So first of all, I gotta say, you guys are saying Clay Holmes doesn't have, you know, which I know it's kind of true, but you gotta get the outs, bro.
He did.
You got to get the outs.
How many outs do you need him to get? He got four of them. Isn't that enough for you?
And he put him in position for two more.
But he's got to get him early. You can't blow the bases and put the team in a position like that.
But the rule of thumb is to get three outs, not don't allow any base runners. I mean, yes, you allowed base runners. It sucks. I'd rather him pitch a 1-2-3 inning, but at the end of the day, yes. Ground ball to shortstop, the game should be over. Fly ball to left field, game should be over. He did his job yesterday.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But Volpe and Verdugo, like, I don't know, man. That ruined my night yesterday. I stared at the TV for 25 minutes. No emotion, nothing.
Yeah. No, I feel you. That's a stare at the TV kind of day.
But it's why you also have to forget it, because it's not informative of what's going to happen going forward.
You are such a player.
I'm not.
Oh, my God.
I am not. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
I meant that as a compliment, I think. Like, you're such a player. Like, that is so something. After a bad game, you'd say, look, I can't think about the fumble. Well, I can't think about this.
Well, you can't, because it's not who they are.
Yeah, but we're not the athlete.
I know.
We're the fan who stared at the TV for 25 minutes.
It's one of 162. It is. They make two bad mistakes back-to-back, unfortunately, and it cost you a game. But it just is a game.
Okay, so.
And I still think they've turned around what was ailing them.
Now, help me out with math. If every game counts the same in your mind, there's 162 of them, each game counts as like 0.7% or something of that nature. There are certain games against certain rivals in certain swing moments that count a bit more.
Yes.
And that game yesterday is one of them.
Yeah. So maybe it's like 1.3%.
Yeah, but you can't tell Julian. Julian sat there staring at his TV for 25 minutes.
That's because he wanted the sweep.
Well, yeah, and he had the sweep.
But the sweep is only important if it comes back to haunt you. And we still got 2 months to figure out whether or not it's going to come back to haunt you. For Yankee fans, if you want to look back on this moment, which was, what was the exact date?
July 14th.
July 14th, 2024. You want to look back on this date 2 months from now, at the end of the season, when they have to play the Orioles, and let's say they lose two out of the three, and they don't win the division, and they got to play in the wild card, and it's a terrible matchup because it's the Astros or whatever, right? Then you can go look back at this day. Oh, but only if it's because you lose the division to the Orioles by a game. That's the only way this thing matters.
I get it, but
that's the only way it matters, Evan. I'm just telling you, it's the only way it matters.
But most of us have the memory of a goldfish. We're going to forget how we feel.
There's no chance you're forgetting. It's right before the All-Star game.
Yeah, sometimes games right before the All-Star break stick with you.
Yes.
Yesterday, the Mets played the last game before the All-Star break. I took my dad, I took my youngest son, I took my wife, and my dad says to me, you know the Mets are losing today. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. Like, I hate to be negative, but yeah, you're probably right. And I said, as long as they don't lose like the way they did in 2021. And it had me rethinking the way they lost the final game before the All-Star break in 2021. Edwin Diaz blew a game against the Pirates at home, and they went into the All-Star break on a loss. They were still in first place.
Yeah.
And it felt like all these years later, it's been 3 years now, I feel like that loss turned their season. Like that
really?
Pre-All-Star game loss helped kind of turn their season to hell.
But that's not going to be the case for the Yankees because of what they were going through prior to this Baltimore series. I mean, they haven't won a series in how many series?
Since the Kansas City series.
Right. So it's been a long time since they'd won a series. So at the very least, we won the series against a team that's right above us, and we caught up two games in ground on them. So, I mean, in some regards, it was a positive, even though the last game left a little bit of a sour taste.
Carmine is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Carmine?
Hi, guys. How you doing? I was at the game Friday night in Baltimore. We go there every year. We had good seats. We were right on the first base, behind the Yankee dugout, but right in line. And with an 0-2 pitch, it started to rain, and it was very muggy. You could hardly breathe. And Holmes. You're not going to hit the guy in the head with an 0-2 pitch,
Yeah, that's the other thing.
No, I think we all kind of know that Clay Holmes didn't do it on purpose. But I think what we need to do, and I thought the Yankees, to their credit, did a really good job explaining it after the game. We have to understand that sometimes guys get pissed off.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't like a good reason for being pissed off. Brandon Hyde saw one of his young players get drilled in the head. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lugie tried to make a child analogy. I'll take another one. If one of our kids fell down viciously, but it wasn't on purpose, you know, the other guy or the other kid or the other girl didn't do it on purpose. Are we not, like, freaking out because we are so concerned that our child just fell down from the top of a swing or something?
They're hurt. You're concerned they're hurt, and so you get emotional.
And you may yell at somebody, even if, look, at the end of the day, that person didn't do it on purpose.
Yes.
What that person should do, and I thought Clay Holmes did it very well, is just shut up and take it. And understand that the person's being irrational. There will come a time in which they realize, okay, not your fault. But in the moment, I think we all understand why Brandon Hyde was angry.
Of course.
He saw his child get hit in the head with a baseball.
Yeah, not literally his child, but yes.
It was like one of his kids.
His kids.
Yeah.
But he got right back up, by the way.
Yeah, but now he's on the IL.
Is he?
Yeah.
I did not see them.
He was not feeling great on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're going to check him out for concussion, which they have to.
Right.
Guy got drilled in the head.
Their protocols used to be terrible.
So I don't think...
They're actually better now.
They're much better. I don't think most people in Baltimore think Clay Holmes did it on purpose.
No.
I think they were just frustrated.
No. They were frustrated because of they were losing a game.
Yeah.
And it looked intentional, even though clearly it wasn't.
I'm just curious if Boone called him. Like, and if he did, what that conversation was like. Like, I wish I heard the phone conversation between Biden and Trump the other day. Mm. Apparently, the president called up the former president and said, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Things are okay. And both admitted there was a conversation. Mm. I would just love to hear it. Right. Not that Boone and Hyde are the same in any way.
Well,
but I love, like, checking in on awkward conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I find that intriguing to listen
to. You'll hear part of it in at the Republican convention.
Well, about the phone conversation?
Or something, whatever came out of that phone conversation.
Oh, I got you. Because
Trump has changed his speech.
Yeah, you know what I would do, by the way? Can I tell you something? And I'm dead serious right now. And if you don't think this is a good idea, you're the problem with America, would be my answer. Mm. I think that the president and the former president should do an event together.
Mm.
I really do. And here's how I would stage it. This is my political advice. I would stage it as they both make jokes about each other, like real quick. Like, Trump's like, hey, look, you're a terrible president. And Biden's like, well, you weren't much better. And they all giggle.
Yeah.
And then they say, look, we're just battling politically. We as a country, we can't resort to this kind of political violence. And then they shake each other's hand. By the way, tell me that's not a badass, smart, and good for all of us political moment.
Yeah, it depends on which camp proposes it.
I did. The Evan camp. The independent camp just promoted
it. There's no way that it can be skewed one way or the other.
It's good for everybody. Honestly.
You're absolutely right.
That's good for everybody. It's good for America, but it's also good for both.
But whoever reaches across that presidential aisle is going to be the one that gets the credit.
Listen.
And that's going to lead to another fight. So, I mean, it's a great idea, but it's got to be independently proposed.
Here's how it could happen. Many years ago, the former president told me personally that he loves listening to me and Joe. And I don't think he was lying. I think he was being honest. So all he's got to do is say, hey, I heard this sports talk radio guy propose this idea. I think it's a great idea.
Nice.
And then we get the credit for it.
I love that.
And then America's happy.
That's right.
You like that?
I was on The Apprentice. He would appreciate it.
You were on The Apprentice?
I was. Season one. I forgot what I was asked to do.
Oh, so you weren't a contestant?
No, I was judging one of the contests.
Really?
Yeah, between in the original series.
You know what's crazy about you? So over the weekend, I walk in on my youngest son, Spence. He has a tablet on. He's watching a video. And I'm putting, like, laundry away. And all of a sudden, out of Spence's tablet, I hear, and I quote, "Hi, I'm Tiki Barber."
Hey, you hear that often here on WFAN.
And I'm like, to my wife, what the hell is going on? And she's just casually like, oh, yeah, big fan of
Ultimate Beastmaster. Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
On Netflix. There it is.
You hear it often.
Spence, a big fan of Tiki on Beastmaster.
I love that.
Incredible, right? Let's go to Brian in East Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hi. I just wanted to call and say I'm a huge fan, first time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, man.
Big Yankee fan. So I just wanted to make a quick comment on Clay Holmes. Huge Clay Holmes guy. Like, he's nasty stuff. It's just hard to, like, have faith in him when you kind of look back over the course of the year of all of the different blown save opportunities. I know, as like, far as this year goes,
right?
He started off with, like, the Seattle game where they had, like, a 3-run lead in the ninth and he blew it. And then there was one game against the last game of the Royals set where he blew it in the ninth. And then the Red Sox one, and then this one. And it's like, after each one, you just think to yourself, like, there's no way there could be a future blown save that's as worse as the one that just happened. And then, like, they somehow find a way to lose in a more like horrific fashion. But and then just a quick point on Hyde. Yeah, the guy's a great manager, and I kind of wish sometimes Boone had more like energy like he does. But I think to fully like 100% be like disgusted with like the Yankees or Holmes in that situation is kind of just like irrational, because I mean, they did just nail like Seager and Bellinger within like the same week time span and like injure them, right. And they also hit Judge and Torres recently, you know, in a right. game in the
yeah.
same inning.
But. So it felt like there was I don't know, retaliation happening, or this was just becoming part of the narrative for his team. So that's why he was also emotional.
But I thought Brian made a great, he used a great word, but then moved on from it, and that is irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay sometimes to be irrational.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of times we're irrational. Maybe not you, Tiki, as much, but I know, I admit that sometimes as a fan, I'm a diehard fan, I'm irrational. And I try to understand, hey, okay, I'm being irrational. Like, I give you a great example of me being irrational. And that was certainly the night that I recorded a Rico Bronya after the Mikal Bridges trade.
Okay.
And I kind of knew, like, I'm probably going to say stuff that's completely irrational. Like, give me a couple of days, and I'll say, yeah, and I understand why they traded him to the Knicks. Yeah, there's that, and all that kind of crap. But I think what people probably thought of that night was, yeah, Evan's being irrational, and he has a right to be. He just got shocked by the fact that the Brooklyn Nets decided to give up and hand Mikal Bridges over to the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So in Brandon Hyde's case, where that is a comparison, is that Brandon Hyde wasn't thinking about, well, gee golly, did Clay Holmes try to hit him or not? Is it humid outside? Is it raining? No. He just saw one of his young players get drilled in the head.
Mm.
And so his reaction was, yes, in irrational anger.
Right.
And I think we have to understand that.
Yeah.
Now, did the Orioles retaliate over the weekend? Does anyone think Aaron Judge got hit on Sunday on purpose? I don't think he did. I mean, maybe some people do. But I don't think that Brandon Hyde and the Orioles retaliated.
I don't think so.
So doesn't that show you that Brandon Hyde is either saving it for September or realized, yeah, I was upset, but what am I really going to do about it?
Both teams have been beefing all year, though. Let me give you this perspective from Brandon Hyde. Camden Yards might as well be called Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have owned them. Their fans dominate that park. At some point here, if the Orioles are going to take that next step, you're not going to come into our house, drill somebody in the head, whether it was intentional or not. So I'm going to make a statement. He's kind of like Dan Campbell. I wouldn't want to get in an arm wrestling match with him. So he's like, you know what? Not here, not in our house. Because it's like filled with Yankee fans every time they play.
But I still feel like that is such an old way of thinking anymore. It just isn't that way in baseball any longer. And the managers don't feel like that any longer. You know what I mean? I think he's a different one. Hyde is a different one. Because just like Dan Campbell, he's a different animal. It's like, this dude is crazy, right? Is he psycho? But he's intentionally like that, Dan Campbell, because I know him well. But Hyde might be that same kind of coach. And I don't think there's a lot of them, though. I think there's fewer and far between.
I think that we're overthinking it. He was angry.
Yes.
It wasn't, yes. I'm trying to send a message. It wasn't, oh my God, Bob in the second row is wearing a Jeter jersey and this offends me. I think it was simply he saw a guy, and it was scary, man. Like anyone watching that game, like you're scared. God forbid someone gets hit in the head and something worse happens.
Right.
And I know it was 100 years ago, but there was a play in 1921 or 22 between Carl Mays and Ray Chapman. The guy died. Now, I understand it's different. We got helmets. We got better protection. But here's what I would also tell you. We're throwing a lot harder now. Carl Mays wasn't throwing 99 miles
on them. So, I mean, in some regards, it was a positive, even though the last game left a little bit of a sour taste.
Carmine is calling from Manalapan. What's up, Carmine?
Hi, guys. How you doing? I was at the game Friday night in Baltimore. We go there every year. We had good seats. We were right on the first base. Behind the Yankee dugout, but, you know, right in line. And with an 0-2 pitch, it started to rain, and it was very muggy. You could hardly breathe. And, you know, Holmes, I mean, you're not going to hit the guy in the head with an 0-2 pitch, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
No, I think we all kind of know that Clay Holmes didn't do it on purpose. But I think what we need to do, and I thought the Yankees, to their credit, did a really good job explaining it after the game. We have to understand that sometimes guys get pissed off.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't like a good reason for being pissed off. Brandon Hyde saw one of his young players get drilled in the head. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lugie tried to make a child analogy. I'll take another one. if one of our kids fell down viciously, but it wasn't on purpose, mm-hmm. you know, the other guy or the other kid or the other girl didn't do it on purpose, are we not, like, freaking out because we are so concerned yes. that our child just fell down well, from the top of a swing or something?
You're concerned they're hurt. You're concerned they're hurt, and so you get emotional.
And you may yell at somebody, even if, look, at the end of the day, that person didn't do it on purpose.
Yes.
What that person should do, and I thought Clay Holmes did it very well,
yes.
is just shut up and take it. And understand that the right. person's being irrational. There will come a time in which they realize, okay, not your fault. But in the moment, I think we all understand why Brandon Hyde was angry.
Of course.
He saw his child get hit in the head with a baseball.
Yeah, not literally his child, but yes.
It was like one of his kids.
His kids.
Yeah.
But he got right back up, by the way.
Yeah, but now he's on the IL.
Is he?
Yeah.
I did not see them.
He was not feeling great on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're going to check him out for concussion, which they have to.
Right.
Guy got drilled in the head.
Their protocols used to be terrible.
So I don't think...
They're actually better now.
They're much better. I don't think most people in Baltimore think Clay Holmes did it on purpose.
No.
I think they were just frustrated.
No. They were frustrated because of they were losing a game.
Yeah.
And it looked intentional, even though clearly it wasn't.
I'm just curious if Boone called him. Like, and if he did, what that conversation was like. Like, I wish I heard the phone conversation between Biden and Trump the other day. Mm. Apparently, the president called up the former president and said, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Things are okay. And both admitted there was a conversation. Mm. I would just love to hear it. Right. Not that Boone and Hyde are the same in any way.
Well,
but I love, like, checking in on awkward conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I find that intriguing to listen
to. I think you'll hear part of it at the Republican convention.
Well, about the phone conversation?
Or something, whatever came out of that phone conversation.
Oh, I got you.
Trump has changed his speech.
Yeah, you know what I would do, by the way? Can I tell you something? I'm dead serious right now. And if you don't think this is a good idea, you're the problem with America, would be my answer. Mm. I think that the president and the former president should do an event together.
Mm.
I really do. And here's how I would stage it. This is my political advice. I would stage it as they both make jokes about each other, like real quick. Like, right. Trump's like, hey, look, you're a terrible president. And Biden's like, well, you weren't much better. And they all giggle.
Yeah.
And then they say, look, we're just battling politically. We as a country, we can't resort to this kind of political violence. And then they shake each other's hand. By the way, tell me that's not a badass, smart, and good for all of us political moment.
Yeah, it depends on which camp proposes it.
I did. The Evan camp. The independent camp just promoted
it. There's no way that it can be skewed one way or the other.
It's good for everybody. Honestly.
You're absolutely right.
That's good for everybody. It's good for America, but it's also good for both.
But whoever reaches across that presidential aisle is going to be the one that gets the credit.
Listen.
And that's going to lead to another fight. So, I mean, it's a great idea, but it's got to be independently proposed.
Here's how it could happen. Many years ago, the former president told me personally that he loves listening to me and Joe. And I don't think he was lying. I think he was being honest. So all he's got to do is say, hey, I heard this sports talk radio guy propose this idea. I think it's a great idea.
Nice.
And then we get the credit for it.
I love that.
And then America's happy.
That's right.
You like that?
I was on The Apprentice. He would appreciate it.
You were on The Apprentice?
I was. Season one. I forgot what I was asked to do.
Oh, so you were on a contestant?
No, I was judging one of the contests.
Really?
Yeah, between in the original series.
You know what's crazy about you? So over the weekend, I walk in on my youngest son, Spence. He has a tablet on. He's watching a video. And I'm putting, like, laundry away. And all of a sudden, out of Spence's tablet, I hear, and I quote, "Hi, I'm Tiki Barber."
Hey, you hear that often here on WFAN.
And I'm like, to my wife, what the hell is going on? And she's just casually like, oh, yeah, big fan of
Ultimate Beastmaster.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
On Netflix. There it is.
You hear it often. Spence, a big fan of Tiki on Beastmaster.
I love that.
Incredible, right? Let's go to Brian in East Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hi. Just wanted to call and say I'm a huge fan, first time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, man.
Big Yankee fan. So I just wanted to make a quick comment on Clay Holmes. Huge Clay Holmes guy. Like, he's nasty stuff. It's just hard to, like, have faith in him when you kind of look back over the course of the year of all the different loan save opportunities. I know as like, far as this year goes,
right?
He started off with, like, the Seattle game where they had, like, a 3-run lead in the ninth and he blew it. And then there was one game against the last game of the Royals set where he blew it in the ninth. And then the Red Sox one and then this one. And it's like after each one, you just think to yourself, like, there's no way there could be a future blown save that's as worse as the one that just happened. And then, like, they somehow find a way to lose in a more, like, horrific fashion. But and then just a quick point on Hyde. Yeah, the guy's a great manager, and I kind of wish sometimes Boone had more, like, energy like he does. But I think to fully, like, 100% be, like, disgusted with, like, the Yankees or Holmes in that situation is kind of just, like, irrational. Because, I mean, they did just nail, like, Seager and Bellinger within, like, the same week time span and, like, injure them. Right. And they also hit Judge and Torres recently, you know, in a game in the same inning.
So it felt like there was, I don't know, retaliation happening, or this was just becoming part of the narrative for his team. So that's why he was also emotional.
But I thought Brian made he used a great word, but then moved on from it, and that is irrational.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay sometimes to be irrational.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of times we're irrational. Maybe not you, Tiki, as much, but I know I admit that sometimes as a fan, I'm a diehard fan, I'm irrational. And I try to understand, hey, okay, I'm being irrational. Like, I give you a great example of me being irrational. And that was certainly the night that I recorded a Rico Bronya after the Mikal Bridges trade.
Okay.
And I kind of knew, like, I'm probably going to say stuff that's completely irrational. Like, give me a couple of days, and I'll say, yeah, and I understand why they traded him to the Knicks. Yeah, there's that, and all that kind of crap. But I think what people probably thought of that night was, yeah, Evan's being irrational, and he has a right to be. He just got shocked by the fact that the Brooklyn Nets decided to give up and hand Mikal Bridges over to the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So in Brandon Hyde's case, where that is a comparison, is that Brandon Hyde wasn't thinking about, well, gee golly, did Clay Holmes try to hit him or not? Is it humid outside? Is it raining? No. He just saw one of his young players get drilled in the head.
Mm.
And so his reaction was, yes, in irrational anger.
Right.
And I think we have to understand that.
Yeah.
Now, did the Orioles retaliate over the weekend? Does anyone think Aaron Judge got hit on Sunday on purpose? I don't think he did. I mean, maybe some people do.
Eh.
But I don't think that Brandon Hyde and the Orioles retaliated.
I don't think so.
So doesn't that show you that Brandon Hyde is either saving it for September or realized, yeah, I was upset, but what am I really going to do about it?
Both teams have been beefing all year, though. Let me give you this perspective from Brandon Hyde. Camden Yards might as well be called Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have owned them. Their fans dominate that park. At some point here, if the Orioles are going to take that next step, you're not going to come into our house, drill somebody in the head, whether it was intentional or not. So I'm going to make a statement. He's kind of like Dan Campbell. I wouldn't want to get in an arm wrestling match with him. So he's like, you know what? Not here, not in our house, because it's like filled with Yankee fans every time they play.
But I still feel like that is such an old way of thinking anymore. It just isn't that way in baseball any longer. And the managers don't feel like that any longer. You know what I mean? I think he's a different one. Hyde is a different one. Because just like Dan Campbell, he's a different animal. It's like, this dude is crazy, right? Is he psycho? But he's intentionally like that, Dan Campbell, because I know him well. But Hyde might be that same kind of coach. And I don't think there's a lot of them, though. I think there's fewer and far between.
I think that we're overthinking it. He was angry.
Yes.
It wasn't, yes. I'm trying to send a message. It wasn't, oh my God, Bob in the second row is wearing a Jeter jersey and this offends me. I think it was simply he saw a guy, and it was scary, man. Like anyone watching that game, like you're scared. God forbid someone gets hit in the head and something worse happens.
Right.
And I know it was 100 years ago, but there was a play in 1921 or 22 between Carl Mays and Ray Chapman. The guy died. Now, I understand it's different. We got helmets. We got better protection. But here's what I would also tell you. We're throwing a lot harder now. Carl Mays wasn't throwing 99 miles an hour.
True.
It is scary crap. And I think that's what it comes down to. And one thing I've seen with managers getting upset with guys being drilled, and I've heard managers say this, they're not even mad because they're implying you did it on purpose.
Yeah.
They're just mad that it happened. And that's a perfect definition of just kind of being irrational about it. The question is, does anything happen after this? They don't play till mid-September, and I kind of lean towards no. I kind of lean towards that little mini incident on Friday really being the end of things.